At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. So much news, but, you know, there's also news on an older story here. And jailhouse emails to Stefan Stern's parents shed new light on Madeline's murder. And we all know that Stefan Stern's has a lot he's facing right now, a lot of charges he's facing right now. And the fact that he's facing all those SA charges prior to the homicide case is more than probably he can bear. So what is he trying to do? Is he trying to implicate Jennifer Soto? Well, we always felt on this show, we were actually a little bit surprised, a little bit shocked that Jennifer Soto has not been arrested yet in this case, because she has undoubtedly implicated herself in several ways through several lies that she's told, both in trying to cover up the activities of Stefan Stearns and also covering up herself. It doesn't make any sense why she told some of the lies she did. So a court hearing on Wednesday resulted in a pushed trial date for Stefan Stearns, the man accused of killing Madeline Soto and leaving her body in Osceola County. As we know, Soto was 13 years old when she was reported missing by her mother, Jennifer, on February 26, and she was soon found dead on March 1st by deputies searching a wooded area off Hickory Tree Road in Osceola County. Stefan Stearns, who's 38 years old, is the boyfriend of Madeline Soto's mother, Jennifer, and he was the last person confirmed to have seen Madeline Soto alive. In addition to being charged with first-degree murder, Stearns faces dozens more charges stemming from what investigators say were disturbing pictures and video found on his phone depicting the SA of a child. Stearns initially told investigators that he accidentally performed a factory reset on his phone the day Soto was reported missing. A pretrial hearing was originally scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday regarding the first-degree murder charge, and that could lead to the death penalty. A second hearing scheduled at 1:30 p.m. Wednesday would concern the 60 additional charges against Stearns, including possession of materials depicting S performance by a child, S battery on a child, and lewd and lascivious molestation. Both hearings were ultimately to be combined at 1:30 as the court had granted the defense motion to continue first hearing because more time was needed in order to prepare the case. Stearns has already filed to waive his scheduled appearances at either court event ahead of time, however, doing so on Tuesday, record showed. So it's, as we know, this case is nightmarish when we talk about this young little girl named Madeline Soto and what she was put through in her short tortured life by this man you see on screen, Stefan Stearns. And as we learn more, as the case moves closer and closer to an inevitable trial, we will undoubtedly find out more about this case. And when we do find all those things out, we will report it to you. So folks, hold on to your hats, hold on to your wig, hold on to your toupee, hold on to your children, your dogs, your cat, whatever you need to make you feel safe, because you're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped at 10th and Grant, Michael Biden.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
Folks, joining me today to present this interesting topic and the updates in the case of Stefan Stearns regarding the murder of Madeline Soto is none other than retired NYPD sergeant, professor at Albertus Magnus College in Connecticut, attorney, almost like any time baby with the reputation of an emergency service cop. Welcome to the show, Professor Mike Geary.
Bill. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for having me.
You know, Mike, I don't know if everyone realizes that most of the time I call you with an hour or an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, pre-notice that we're going live at such a time. And you 90% of the time say, okay, I'm in. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. And I know that our audience really appreciates that because this is a tough business. Exactly know all the time what's trending and when you go on the air. And we like to bring you these cases with a level of expertise that we have with our background in policing and academia and all of those things. So, Mike, what we're hearing now is, first of all, I think it's important for our audience to understand that all communications from jail are not private communications. If you make a phone call, it's recorded. All your emails are copied and someone is watching everything you send. So with that known, undoubtedly any attorney that's representing a defendant who's in jail and or prison will tell his client, listen, your conversations and your emails are not private. They are not privileged. They are watched and read by the jail personnel and they are available to prosecute you if necessary. Well, you want to speak upon that, Mike?
Yeah, Bill, there's no way that you could have that kind of privacy. So it's got to be that everything is watched because when people think there's privacy and maybe they're talking to a loved one, maybe they're talking to an unindicted co-conspirator, they're talking to relatives, things like that. They may, if they think that there's privacy, they may say things that would actually demonstrate a consciousness of guilt, some sort of admissions implicating themselves or other people in those communications. You're going to have a defense attorney, and defense attorney is going to say, if you are in the clink for a while, pre-trial, understand that the boss is watching over you. So do not say anything other than hello, how are you? I'm fine. I'm still alive. That sort of thing, because there's no possible way that you could have security in a prison or a jail with the alleged perpetrators. Having privacy to, go about with their machinations and maybe trying to cover up for their crimes or maybe plan new crimes. So that's a good policy, and that's the way it's got to be.
You know, Mike, with that in mind, might a defendant in jail or in prison purposely try to throw off the authorities by sending emails meant to put them in another direction? Because He, Stefan Stearns, knows that they're watching and reading all his emails, knows that they're watching and listening to all his phone calls. So might he try to use that to his advantage? One of the things, and we're going to show you some of the communication he's had with his parents, he sort of now is implicating who we assume to be. It's Jennifer Soto.
Right.
The mother of Madeline Soto. And I had said from early on, and in several videos, the earliest one was the TV interview they did. That was before Madeline's body was even found, that Jennifer Soto acted very strangely. And her behavior was inappropriate for someone whose daughter was missing. And Stefan Stearns was even worse. So I felt from very early on that Jennifer Soto was involved in this, was a co-conspirator. And the fact that we know about all the SA going back like 4 years to this this poor little girl was 13 years old, going back to the age of 9. And I feel that it would have been impossible, absolutely impossible, for Jennifer Soto not to have known about it. And in one sense, maybe condoned it and allowed it. Your thoughts?
Billy, she allowed it. She knew. She's a mother. She could, if she walks into that bedroom, she knows what she could see, what the place looks like. She knows what he had in his drawers. If she was the least bit suspicious, she would have went into those drawers and seen some of the disgusting things that the police found there. She knew. She didn't want to know. She liked to put it in the closet and pretend that big old monster is in the closet. She doesn't want to open up the door and confront it, because if this happens sometimes in families with these kind of situations, if a child makes an allegation of SA, there are times when the family will not support it because they will have to confront it, and that will blow up the family unit. So she didn't want to cause any sort of problems. She just probably just figured, I'm hoping for the best, but she did not act as a protective parent. She neglected, at the very least, she was completely neglectful of her duties. And that is a felony, because then you expose your children to endangerment. And that's unforgivable. The worst, the first job you have as a parent is protect your child from all kinds of dangers. And she failed miserably. She knew what was going on. And I am very as puzzled as you are. We talked about this before going on today, how the prosecutor in Kissimmee has not actually indicted her for even a charge of, say, endangerment of a child through neglect. I'm shocked as you are. I don't get it, because it's
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Clear from even her own statements to police, very candid statements about the living arrangements inside that apartment, that she condoned the circumstances, the situation. And that's really, really very sad that she hasn't been charged yet. Maybe there's a tactical reason that we don't understand, that they're holding off. I don't know, but it is very, very puzzling.
The only thing I could think of from a prosecutorial standpoint is that what you just said, from a strategy standpoint, maybe they're holding back on pulling the trigger on her so that they can use her as a witness in the first trial for SA against Stefan Stearns, based on the pictures that and the documents he had on his phone. That's the only way I can think of this. But other than that, Carrie McConnell, her schoolmate said she was texting him. If the mom was checking her phone, she would have known. Carrie McConnell, you're preaching to the choir, and thank you for your comments. Mel Stiller, what mother encourages her adult boyfriend to sleep with her young, very young daughter? That is sick. There's a lot of sick things in this case, Mel, and thank you for your comment. You're 100% right. This is from WESH. They're going to speak right now about the emails, the jailhouse emails Stefan Stearns was sending out.
Released today shed more light on Stefan Stearns, the man accused of sexual battery on a child and for the murder of 13-year-old Madeline Soto.
Those documents include several back and forth conversations between Stearns and presumably his family. Well, she's Luana Munoz is live in studio tonight. And Luana, you've been pouring through these conversations. What exactly do they entail?
You know, Stefan Stearns goes back and forth again with his mother and who we believe might be his father, Chris Stearns. Stefan Stearns seems to believe that there's still some hope for his case, while his mother makes reference to others possibly being involved.
One day after Stefan Stearns' trial was delayed, the state attorney's office released this 64-page document of email correspondence between Stearns and who appears to be his parents. Conversation starts off with Stearns complaining about life in isolation, saying, quote, "It's not exactly the Ritz. It's a small cell and the pot is quite noisy. The mat is flat and has very little cushion left. The cell is small, filthy, and has some spots on the wall that appear to be bloody fingerprints." He later complains of his coffee supply running low and continues to ask for a book. It's an odd conversation for the 38-year-old accused of 60 counts of sexual battery of a child and for the murder of 13-year-old Madeline Soto. Detectives say Stearns is seen on surveillance video driving around with Soto's dead body in his car before allegedly dumping her in a rural field in February. In an email dated June 25th, Stearns tells his family, quote, "There's still perhaps a slim hope for my situation." He goes on to say, "I maintain hope that I might be able to come home once this whole nasty business has reached its end, and ask that you both remain hopeful as well and continue to pray for me to be delivered home again." A redacted email is then sent back to Stearns, signed Mom, that alludes to some accusations. She says, "We all know redacted was heavily involved in this, and I'm disgusted that she's free and you're not, when this is not all your fault. You need to think about yourself more and her less. She sure isn't thinking about you and how she can help you right now. That whole family is willing to stay quiet and let you take the fall for everything." She goes on to say, quote, "I think of the craziness Redacted lived through with Redacted's various partners, not a stable life for a child at all. I do pray for Redacted and you daily."
Well, Stearns' trial was expected to start next week, but just yesterday his attorney asked that that be pushed back. His new trial date is now scheduled for October 14th.
Unbelievable. Like the fact that he's thinking that he has a shot someday to go home. Yeah, someday in 2100, maybe, right. You know, when we'll all be dead, you know, like he's, I mean, it's, again, someone in the chat says he's delusional. He's that, and look at the mother. This is why I asked, was this strategic? This is the mother pointing the finger undoubtedly at Jennifer Soto about relative to her involvement. And you're the poor little boy in jail right now, taking the full weight for the murder of her daughter when she was involved. That seems to be what these emails are saying.
Yeah, Billy, it's almost like the mother's enabling him to believe that he's not solely responsible for his conduct. And that's really sick. And not that I'm a fan of Jen. However, because he is a grown man. However, I think it is strategic on her part, as you alluded to, the fact that maybe she wants to let everyone know that, you know, yeah, we all believe that she had a part to play in this. And for some reason, you know, she's the one who kind of set it up that way for all the essay to happen. And she needs to pay the price for what she herself has done. And she should be responsible, and that she doesn't really care about you. She's not communicating with you. She's staying as far away from you as she can. And I guess that's the motherly instinct in Stefan Stearns' mom. I guess that's how it's coming out. But and maybe he's just trying in some really weird way to just give his parents some hope that someday all this nasty business will be behind him. Yeah, he'll be 6 feet under in a pine box. But other than that's when it's all going to be behind him. But other than that, there's no hope for this guy. He's facing so many charges, both the essay and the homicide. You know, it's really kind of strange that he would do it. Maybe he's just trying to be a comforting son. But I think the mom is actually trying to let people know, hey, come on, look at Jen. Please take a look at her. She's got a role in this. She's not a victim here. She's not a victim.
So I think maybe the police know all of this. Right. Sizzle 74 from the chat, "I would not speak to my son had he done this." Yeah, I think I agree with you. Mark Dolmage, "These emails are reaching exactly who they are intended for, channels such as this." Mark, I don't know how to take that, but we're going to report this, of course. Barbara Miller, "If the mom knew, why didn't she speak up, son or not?" Well, again, as Mike said, she's like an enabler. Look, this was a 37-year-old baby living with mommy and daddy. Like, come on. How many 37-year-old babies live with mommy and daddy? ATS News, "I think mom knew it would be seen." Yes, I think so, too. I think that she intended the police to read this. Brooklyn Pasola, "The mother's trying to implement a defense by siphoning off the public notion Jen Soto is involved." Well, I think that we all think that Jennifer Soto is involved. Yeah. Jacqueline Ha, "Good to see you. I've heard his mom is smart and manipulative." Could be. Carrie McConnell, Jennifer doesn't seem to be too bright. A few French fries short of a happy meal. Yes, I think.
okay.
I think you might be right. London girl, the mother is manipulating the disgusting context. I think you're right. Yeah. Barbara Miller, if mom knew, she's complicit as well. I think there's a lot of room for that in this case. I think there's a lot. There's a lot more that we're going to find out as we go through this. Kung Fu Panda, Jen strikes me as someone so wrapped up in being a victim herself, she did nothing to protect her daughter, and then she's guilty through omission. Folks, if you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, hit the like button, share us with your friends and family. If you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with 4 different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with Count 'em, 5 different levels. And we appreciate you guys, all your support you give us that keeps this channel going and growing strong. Thank you. Mike, there's another new revelation about a second car involved going the same route in which Stefan Stearns traveled. But in this second car, it travels the same route, but it's obviously not Stefan Stearns' vehicle. Let's just
play right
from WKMG Channel 6.
Details in the disappearance and murder of 13-year-old Madeline Soto. To get you up to speed here, Madeline was reported missing on February 26th after not showing up at school. Her mom's boyfriend, Stefan Stearns, was arrested days later on sexual battery charges. Her body was found March 1st in Osceola County. Authorities now believe Stearns killed Soto at her Kissimmee apartment, then dumped that body miles away in St. Cloud. Now we're learning a second car traveled to the location where the teen's body was later found. News 6 investigator Mike DeForest explains.
Shortly after Madeline Soto was reported missing, detectives pieced together the movements of Stefan Stearns' car using license plate readers, traffic cameras, and other surveillance cameras. Now, I've been going through some of the evidence released by prosecutors and discovered detectives also traced the movements of a second car. Stefan Stearns has pleaded not guilty to sexually molesting and murdering Madeline Soto. If convicted, he faces the death penalty. Stearns originally told investigators that he dropped the 13-year-old off at school, but she never came home. Authorities now say that was a lie. On February 26th, the day that Soto was reported missing, detectives say they were able to trace the movements of a silver Lincoln that was driven by Stearns. Around 12:49 in the afternoon, the Lincoln was caught on camera leaving the Venetian Bay Village Apartments in Kissimmee, where Soto lived with her mom. The car was then photographed multiple times as it traveled east towards St. Cloud and Old Hickory Tree Drive. That's just blocks from where detectives would later find Soto's body. After remaining in that area for about an hour, detectives say the silver Lincoln returned to the apartment the same way, arriving back around 2:43 p.m. That was on February 26th. The very next morning, around 3:18 a.m., detectives say a different car, a white Nissan, left the apartment complex and took nearly the exact same route down to Old Hickory Tree Drive. After spending about a half hour in the area where Soto's body was later found, the white Nissan headed back to the apartment.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Apartment. Now, records released by prosecutors do not indicate who owned that white Nissan, and the reports do not say whether investigators believe it was Stearns or someone else traveling in the Nissan that morning. there are still a lot of unanswered questions about Madeline Soto's death. I expect to learn a lot more as prosecutors continue to build their case against Stearns.
So interesting. And Mike, we spoke off camera before we went live, and our feelings were that perhaps Stephon Stearns felt that he may have left something of an evidentiary nature along that route. And he may have thought he was being slick and used this potentially could be Jennifer Soto's car. And we all know the police know exactly whose car this is. They're not releasing. It was redacted. But that's what I'm looking at, is that he did a search perhaps for potential evidence he may have left along the route. That's the only thing I could think of the reason he would do that in 3:15 in the morning. What's your thoughts?
Billy, I think you're right. I think that he knows what he did. He's going back. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He's pitch dark. He feels like nobody's going to be on the roads. Nobody's going to be observing him. He pulls over at that spot. He might have a flashlight, take it out, look real quick, do a quick reconnaissance of the scene. What did I, am I missing anything? Anything. Is it visible? Where maybe the brush was put up on top of her. What do you see? Just doing a little reconnaissance. He knows what he did. He's just trying to make sure. He can't help himself. He's got to go back out there. Just give it one more look. 3 o'clock in the morning. Remember, at this point, he's already, depending on the timeline, I'm not sure about what he knew from what the police, when they first initially questioned him about the car that he took her in. And maybe he's trying to figure, okay, I got a different car. They're not going to know it's me. If anybody at all sees this car driving down this road, they're not going to connect it to me. Trying to outsmart the police, trying to cover his trails, just to make sure that he hasn't left anything, maybe footprints in the mud, all kinds of little things he's trying to do to, because he's thinking he can outsmart the police. But yeah, this is definitely him. He's going back to that exact spot. Now, what's the chance of it could be somebody else in this world going to that exact spot when there's really nothing around over there? No, that's him. That's him. And it's consciousness of guilt because he's got to go back. He can't stop himself. He's got to go back and look at what he did to make sure that it's adequate to, in his mind, to hide that body and to get back to the house as fast as he can. That's him.
Absolutely. ATS News from the chat. It's definitely Jen's car. It's redacted in the documents, but the surrounding info points to it being Jen's from what I saw in the documents. ATS News, thank you. That's right. We put that together just because we're coppers, We didn't see that, but it just makes sense that it's her car, and it makes sense that he's trying to retrace his steps. One of the things I will say, it is amazing the technology that goes into investigations these days. And criminals are not going to be getting away with much in the future. Here we have the entire path of these cars. And I say these cars because this is the second car. How about Stephon Stearns' car being caught pulling into the parking lot of a hotel and taking Madeline's body out of the passenger seat and throwing her in the trunk of his car? All caught on video. How powerful is that as evidence? I answer it myself. It's ridiculously powerful evidence. And the fact that technology gives police those tools, it leaves you, criminals are not smart enough to beat good investigators and outstanding technology. Mike.
Yeah, just think about it. When you, me, and Phil got on the job, in the mid 80s, there was no cell phones at the time, very little public video on the light poles and things like that. There would be security cameras maybe at a front door of a hotel. But, they have now, they're all over the place. Every commercial establishment practically has them. One of the chief detectives that you interviewed said that if you make a crime in Manhattan, you're crazy because there's every single street on Manhattan has multiple cameras. So you can't get away with it like you could before. And so therefore it's great. And it also doesn't, it's great because it's non-passionate. It's not subject to whims and caprice of people's memories. It's just mechanical. You know, the exact time and date, and you could see everything right there. And that is fantastic and is preserved. And there's no way somebody could say, oh, that actually isn't accurate. Oh, it can't be that time or that place or something like that. It's absolutely time stamped, date stamped, location stamped. And that's perfect. And that always helps the police because you can't deny that's your car. You can't deny you weren't there when there's your car driving in and out of a parking lot. And there's a video up on one of the parking lot levels of you getting out of your car and putting a body in the trunk, things like that. There's no way for you to go. You can't argue your way out of that. And that is fantastic. This is great technology for detectives. It's really fantastic.
Penny C from the chat, all of the doubters can apologize now. I do not want bad things to be true. What is worse is seeing people get away with hurting children. Sadly speaking, from childhood experience. Penny C, I'm sorry that you had those horrible childhood experiences, but you're 100% right. You're 100% right. Pauline Buckles, 3 a.m. in the morning, he takes her car, and she didn't know why. Look, we don't know what Jennifer Soto. We think she's complicit in this, so I think she knows everything, everything that happened here. Thorn, Bladus, Lash, they're all screwed up. Jacqueline Ha, love it. Love watching and hearing how you and Professor Mike's brains works. Well, thank you, Jacqueline. Very kind of you. I'm glad that our brains work well, we hope.
Sometimes.
Pessa, I think this release of information is telling Jen to lawyer up fast if she hasn't already. I would think, Pessa, that she has lawyered up. I could seem that all this time could go by without someone whispering her in her ear, you better get an attorney, you know. Kung Fu Panda, that's why I questioned Jen not being charged with anything. The case is video. They don't need to make a deal with her. Well, you know, Kung Fu Panda, as we said, we're a little bit baffled by it too, but the only thing that we could think of is that the first trial is going to be the trial for SA. Might they want to use her as a witness in that trial? And then they could always charge her with the homicide, acting in concert. And that would be the bigger fish to fry at that point. But yeah, it's a little baffling to us also. Penny C, I'm so grateful for how much tech has helped. Body cameras prove cons make arresting police suffer, and the cons lie so badly. Absolutely. Do we all remember when they first reported Jennifer Soto missing, and we had the police body cam video? I want to play a little bit of that, because if you doubt that Jennifer Soto was complicit in this, I think if you watch some of this and watch her body language, it's really sort of telling.
Are we looking for another kid, or we have a kid?
Looking for another one.
All
right,
people are still on
the
scene. Let's put that out. Any hospital
location? How long? I'm trying to get there right now. Okay. All right. So she was supposed to be dropped off at school. Didn't make it to school.
I went to pick her up from school today, and she never came out. They announced it over the speaker, and I'm just like, maybe she walked here, because sometimes she'll walk here to this office.
Mm-hmm.
I came here, nothing. I went back to the school, they were closed. I got a notice, an email from the school saying she was absent, but I also messaged her teacher, and he looked at her entire attendance today and saw that she was completely not at school today either.
Okay.
So she never made it.
Okay, what's her name?
Madeline. M-A-D-E-L-I-N-E.
E-L-
I-N-E.
Last name?
Soto.
S-O-T-O?
Yeah.
Date of birth?
February 22nd, 2011.
February 22nd, 2011.
Just her 13th birthday.
13. 14, 18,
what's the name of the single age?
Madeline Soto, age 13. I'm trying to get a clothing description now. Okay. What was she last seen wearing?
Green hoodie.
Green hoodie.
White Crocs.
White Crocs.
I wear blue or black pants.
I think black shorts.
Black shorts?
Yeah.
Black shorts? Okay.
See, that to me was amazing that she never saw her or claims she never saw her in the morning, but yet she spits out black shorts and he spit out a different clothing description. So obviously for those little tidbits of information that are very important, they didn't get together and make sure that they had the same information. And sometimes liars do that, sometimes they don't. But this is where I think she got caught up in not knowing what to say. And all of a sudden she spit out white shorts.
Black shorts. All right.
Black shorts.
Do you know she has like friends in the area?
She does, but she doesn't know where they live.
She doesn't know where they live. Okay.
I asked all of them.
Okay. Is this like, does she like have any places that you guys know that she'll usually be at? Any friends' house? Any places that like she likes to hang out?
Not typically, no.
Not typically?
No.
Okay. Just give me 1 second. Let me see if we get some.
Thank you.
No problem. And what school she goes to?
Hunters Creek Middle School.
Hunters Creek Middle? All right, cool. 125.
Folks, just so you know, and we've covered this many times, police procedure for a missing person, and this will undoubtedly be what we call a special category missing person, both because of her age and also because of the potential here of foul play. At this point, more than 8 hours have gone by that she's been missing, and it's an unaccountable disappearance. She never showed up at school. Even if she wasn't 13, it would fit that special category missing because it seems that she's unaccountable due to potential foul play. And that's not the language they use in our patrol guide. Unaccountable disappearance, possibly for, you know, kidnapped or a crime's been committed against her or she ran away. Any one of those things would make her a special category person and double that up with the age. Now, when you think of that, and if you're a parent and you think of your 13-year-old daughter missing for that amount of time, their behavior seems quite inconsistent with that happening. You're Stefan Stearns with his arms crossed, you know, in that defensive position that he frequently takes up. And one of my reasons for talking about this, the very first place that the police are supposed to search in a situation like this is the home.
Mm-hmm. Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Home of the missing person. Can't tell you how many times someone has been tried to report a child missing. You go to the home and you find the child in the home, under a bed, in a closet, somewhere, or you find evidence of a crime in that home. So that is the number one place to search in a special category missing person. Mike, I think I'm giving you nightmares, bringing you back to your days as a sergeant. When you'd get these special category missing person cases.
Oh, yeah, because you got to mobilize everybody and you also have to notify the transit, housing, police. You know, if it's anywhere near water, it's a young child, you're going to ask the harbor unit. You might have to ask aviation. You know, this is anytime you have somebody this young who hasn't actually been reported to have been in school, you got to start at the home. You're absolutely right. That's the origin of the search. And you search outward. That's like this, the middle of the wheel. And then you go outwards from there. if she had been reported to have been in school, and she was in school for most of the day, and then she disappeared sometime after 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon, you'd be starting at the school. So, because that would be where she was last seen. But yeah, it is. I mean, people react very differently to stress and sorrow and things like that. But when you look at Madeline, remember, she's the mom. That child, she's been told now, she knows, did not even make it to school. So therefore, somewhere before 8 o'clock in the morning, she went missing. This is like 12 hours later. The school day ended at least 4 hours ago. She doesn't seem like she's in a hurry. Stefan Stearns is sitting there with his arms folded like this. He seems very defensive. It just seems like a very odd couple. I mean, the police officer did an excellent job getting the information, but it is a very odd situation. I've not seen a mom that calm. They're usually chomping at the bit and telling you, do something. Meanwhile, you're trying to take a report. You're trying to get the information so that you can be efficient in what you're doing. But they're usually on pins and needles, and the fathers are too. I've not seen that sort of behavior from a couple or a mom or a dad who has a missing child. No, they are frantic. And if anyone out there who doesn't have a child, you might not understand, but if you have a child and they're missing, you are frantic because that is your job. That all you want is for your child to be safe and to have a parent like Jen Soto sitting there and so talking so calmly and actually correcting Stefan Stearns about the shorts and the pants. You know, it's a very odd situation. Of course, now looking back, but at the time when the officer was taking that information, he's got a lot on his mind to try to get this, you know, machine up and running. And so he's maybe not catching all the cues. That stuff was caught much later by the investigators when they went back and they started doing their investigation, the detectives. But in the beginning, that is a weird thing. And very, very strange physical and reaction to a missing child. Very strange.
Absolutely. And here's some of Stefan Stearns's, hang on, I got to remove that one and put this new one up there. I'm going to play a little bit of Stefan Stearns's interview with the police. And this was a famous interview, of course, because this led to the police catching him in multiple lies that led to them finding those horrible images on his phone.
So if you can be kind of like specific about like times and stuff like that, okay?
Woke up around 7:15, somewhere around there, which is an early start for us. But we had talked about getting McDonald's breakfast beforehand, so we wanted to make good time. We did make good time. We got out the door maybe 7:30, 7:45-ish maybe. Got over to that area. She was asleep in the car most of the time, just snoozing until we got there. We got to McDonald's. We're close to McDonald's. I said, you still want it? She wasn't interested in the McDonald's anymore, so we continued on. And she wanted to be dropped off a little down the ways from the school. She's got this phase that she's been into lately where she's very particular about what car she's seen getting out of in front of the school. She prefers her mom's car, but my cars are, I guess, kind of oopties. I get it. It's an image thing. But that was sometime probably between 8:20 and 8:40-ish, somewhere in there. It was along the stretch of the road that on the right side that has all the communities on it before you get to the overpass.
You know, I just want to say something. Like, if you weren't guilty of anything, would you know all of this in this grade of detail? Would you?
Yeah.
I don't know if you would. Like, I don't remember exactly, I do sometimes every day I do the same thing. And I would not know specifically the time. I stopped here. I did that. I was wearing this. I don't know. I think that when you are guilty, all of a sudden either you're inventing times, places, occurrences, or, you know, you're making them up as you go along. Because I think us as human beings, you know, there's a famous scene in the play Guys and Dolls, you know, someone's asking someone about memory and says, all right, what color is your tie? And the guy absolutely couldn't say, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Like, okay, well, you know, oh, I could get that. Oh, really? Okay, bet $300 on it. All right, I'm not betting. I don't know. I remember. So, yes, I don't think we as human beings necessarily remember all of these details unless, as you would say, Mike, I'll use your term, consciousness of guilt. Kung Fu Panda, very scripted. That's what I'm getting to. Kung Fu Panda, thank you for supplying me that line. You're absolutely 100% right. Thorn Blader's Lash, no emotions from Jen. Horrible. Yes, this is like, so he's making, let's go back to Stefan Stearns' interview. He's going along and just spitting out all of this information. And if you notice his voice, it's the whole time he's being, it's like, and I went, you know, he sounds like, you know, he's about to cry, you know, it's, and I think it's put on.
You could see the overpass from where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was on that side on that stretch of road. And that's where I dropped her off. She said she was going to go wait for her friends. She was going to go find them and hang out and wait for her friends. And I asked if that was going to be okay. She said, yeah, it's fine. Kids get dropped off early enough as it is. It's not totally unusual for that to happen. It's just not usually that early that I drop her off.
Mm-hmm.
I do school runs every once in a while for her. I said, okay. Let her out. Have a good day. Love you. Thanks. Love you too. And I turned around and was driving away and was watching her in my rearview mirror to make sure that she was going where she was to go. And she was moving in that direction, but she was rummaging around in her backpack or something. What I assumed was probably headphones or something like that, but I found out later that she forgot her phone here, so she may have been rummaging for her phone. But she was still kind of making her way towards that direction, so it looked okay. It looked like any other day. And I just continued on.
After you dropped her off, what did you do?
They talked to her for a minute. I made sure, you know, is it all right that you're going early? Because it was still early.
Mm-hmm.
She said, yeah, it's fine. I'm going to hang out and wait for my friends to get there, which she does sometimes. So it didn't sound, you know, outrageous or anything. That was it. Told her to have a good day. I loved her. She told me she loved me too. I turned around to leave and I was watching her in my rearview mirror. And she looked like she was walking in the right direction. She was rummaging in her bag a little bit, like I said, but still sort of just shambling in the right direction while she was doing it. So it looked normal. It looked okay.
Okay. And then what?
I would not, Mike, I personally would not remember all those details. Many times I would drop my kids off at school when they were younger. And I remember when my oldest son was 6 years old, I would drop him off right at the doorstep. And he had about 50 feet to walk into the building. And I would stay there till he walked in. But you know the way a six-year-old is, he would like walk back, you know, a very like circuitous, I like that word, right. Circuitous route to go straight. Where I had to scream out the window, Casey, go into the damn school, you know, because right. He was taking like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to walk 50 feet. And I once he got into school, I would be okay. He's safe now, but that's the way kids are. But I wouldn't like have remembered. Oh, yeah, I dropped him off and he was taking all this time. You know, he seems to be in this interview, of course, and you say it all the time, consciousness of guilt. He's making up stuff.
Yeah, he's trying to make it all up to you know, just let people know, hey, this is the more detail you give, it's believed that the more people believe your story. So, yeah, I she was rummaging around in her backpack. She was shuffling in that direction. I was looking at her in my rear view mirror. You know, we left the house 7:37-ish. You know, no, it's a lot of unnecessary detail. And look, these detectives have interviewed many people before in many different situations. And when you start to get this little hint that there's something just not right with this guy, what he's saying, you start to say, okay, it's either I believe everything he's saying and we could, you know, discount him as a possible suspect or have anything to do with this, or my instinct tells me there's something going on here. This is a little bit strange. And that's the beauty of that is the way they talked to the suspect, that a female detective at the end, she just sewed it all nice and up, sewed it all up in a bow. And the detective asking about, we saw your car in a different place. And then suddenly he's like, uh-oh, I got to go back. And I got to go make up something else. I got to make up another lie and make it up quick. But those cops are going to sit there very quietly and just let them talk. And that's the beauty of interrogation. It's just getting people comfortable to talk. And they let them do it. And it was a fantastic interview.
Absolutely. Archangel 807, what email? So, well, we covered that earlier, Archangel. What we were talking about, his emails, he was sending emails to his mother and father, and he was implicating Jennifer Soto. At least that's the way it appeared. Her name was redacted. The mother was also implicating her, Jennifer Soto, in her response back. So that was what we first started the show off with, of these emails that he undoubtedly, he may be also playing the investigators by putting this, because he knows damn well, and so does his mother and so does his father, that the emails are not private, that the jail personnel and the courts and the prosecutor have full access to this. So would you say something that maybe you want them to know? Or would you're not going to say something that's going to hurt Stefan here? So they may be trying to play the investigators. I don't think they're doing a good job. Patty L, laugh out loud, Bill. Yes, kids, we must keep an eye on them as much as possible. My son, now having daughters, appreciates me being a helicopter mom. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Marina Furry, theory, Jen did not love Madeline and was jealous of her relationship with Stefan. Madeline threatened to expose both of them. Did she ask Stefan to come back to sort out the problem? You know, I don't know if Jennifer Soto is smart enough to do something like that. She seems like she's not hitting on all cylinders in a six-cylinder car. She may be hitting on about three of them, you know. And but there's definitely, it was a very bizarre, very unusual, to say the least, criminal relationship between Stefan Stearns, Madeline Soto, and the mom, Jennifer Soto. So I and Mike Geary have said right from the very beginning, we think Jennifer is in on this, and at the very least, by omission. That is failure to act when you have the legal obligation to act. So that's what we thought from the very beginning. I still feel she's involved. Penny C from the chat, that this guy thinks anyone would buy a kid going to school early. What good parent would tolerate that? I imagine the smokers, stoners did, but parents wouldn't be involved. Kung Fu Panda from the chat, I'm wondering if Madeline thought she was in a relationship groomed over several years, and friends stated Madeline spoke to him many times throughout the day, more than anyone else. That's so bizarre, you know. If that's really the case, then, you know, all the questions we are asking right now, Alan G from the chat, what deal is she getting, Sarge? Well, Alan G, we're unaware of any deal. We, from our vantage point, and you guys from your vantage point, don't know why he has not been charged yet. We're a little bit baffled by that. Mike.
Yeah, as we've been thinking about this and talking about this and going back and forth with this case, the only thing I could think of, and this is a stretch, I don't know, but that they want her to testify in the essay trial that's coming up. I think it's in October now. And they want her to testify as to what's in the background of the pictures to show that she's familiar, that these pictures were taken and the whatever film there is of the essay was taken in a particular bedroom in a particular room in the house, so that she could testify as to the genuineness, the accuracy, the reliability of these pictures. So she could place that person in that home, in that location at that time, and that she'll be speaking to the jury free of any sort of criminal charge hanging over her head. So I think the prosecutor wants to make that impression for the jury that she's not being manipulated into testifying. She hasn't been touched at all criminally, and she's sitting here freely as a mom testifying and helping convict this guy. Maybe that. And then later on, maybe they could use that testimony, her testimony, in the next trial for him for the homicide, like a year from now, and have her testify then. And I think because she's not going anywhere, she's not a flight risk. And so maybe they just want to see what she's willing to admit to her culpability under oath in a trial.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Because she has to testify at that trial, and she's going to do it. And, you know, if she starts pleading the fifth, okay, well, then all bets are off. But that's the only thing I could think of, is that it's kind of like a one-upsmanship chess match between the prosecutor and the defense attorney, and the prosecutor's putting that criminal charge in his back pocket and isn't making it publicly known that she's been arrested, and you know, you got this charge hanging over, so she's pressured into testifying. The DA can go in there and tell the jury she's testifying on her own accord. The defense attorney can't attack her by saying, "Oh, you're only testifying because you've been arrested and charged," and you know, that sort of thing. So that's the only thing I could think of. You know, it could be. I don't know.
Well, your guess is as good as ours, but the proof in the pudding is that she hasn't been arrested yet. She hasn't been charged yet. Early on in the investigation, remember, Chief Mena spoke about, when we were shocked, some of the things he said, but this was very early on in the investigation.
So thank you for being here. We have some important developments in this case that we want to share with our community. I wish we were here to tell you that we have found Madeline, but we have not found her. Last night, detectives from the Kissimmee Police Department met with Madeline's mother, and they had to tell her the very devastating news that although we have not found Madeline, we are now confident that she is dead. So our efforts.
When I first heard that, I was like so shocked. And even I just think that, look, this chief is no doubt great at his job. You know, he's got 30 something odd years on the job, but his choice of words in reporting that was to me a little bit tough to take. He said how we would love to tell you that we found Madeline, but we had to give the really bad news to her mother that we are very confident that Madeline is dead. I was just, those words, the way he worded that, it didn't sit well with me. Your thoughts?
It is a rather odd way of saying what he was trying to say, is that there's enough evidence that they've gotten to believe that from the video that she's deceased, and that they're going to tell the mother, Jennifer, that her daughter is deceased, but they don't want to say that they found her, that they just know this part because they haven't recovered her body yet. It's an odd around end kind of weird way of, circuitous way of saying it. Really strange. I guess he was trying hard in a way to try to be as gentle as possible, but it came out kind of stilted, definitely.
Absolutely. Let's go back to Chief Mena here.
We'll be focused on recovering Madeline. Dozens and dozens of detectives, crime analysts, and specialized team members have been working nonstop and following up on every single lead and every shred of evidence. Our detectives have determined that Madeline was never dropped off on the morning of February 26th near her school. Instead, we believe she was already dead at the time and that Stephen Stearns moved her body in the early morning hours on that day. We have video evidence that shows Stephen Stearns discarding items in a dumpster in that apartment complex in Kissimmee at 7:35 on Monday, February 26. Detectives later recovered Madeline's backpack and her school-issued laptop from that dumpster. At 8:19, we have evidence that shows Stephen Stearns returning to the complex and Madeline was visible in that vehicle. We believe she was already dead at that time. As a result of that, although the initial missing persons investigation started in Orange County, the Kissimmee Police Department will now be taking over the investigation and will become the lead agency. And of course, the Orange County Sheriff's Office, all of our support personnel will be available and will be still be assisting in this investigation. So this time I'm going to turn it over to Chief Holland from the Kissimmee Police Department. Chief.
So that was really a blockbuster information that came over then. And how they knew right then that she was dead. And don't forget, she was reported missing on the 26th. So the 27th is when I think this press conference occurred. And was that, did they also have the besides the video of Stephen Stearns dumping her backpack and her laptop into that dumpster on the property, did they also have the video then of him pulling up into that hotel parking lot and taking her body out of the passenger side of the car and throwing her into the trunk? That is why this Chief Mena may have been so positive. Remember, it was all that conjecture early on that, oh, she was slumped over to the right and you could see it on. So how did they know in that video that she was in fact dead? And I think they also may have had at that time the video of Stephen Stearns taking her body out of the front seat of the car and dumping her into the trunk.
Yeah, Billy, you're right, because that would logically follow that, you know, you go back to the very beginning, the hub of the wheel, the home, and you start looking at all the video in that location, and they got that video that's very disturbing, seeing him dumping something and seeing her appearing to be asleep. He tried to cover his tracks by saying she was napping in the car on the way to McDonald's. But as you said, they're looking at the video of traffic cameras and businesses and things like that, and they might have caught him on a camera turning into the parking garage of that hotel. They go to the hotel security camera, and they see him on the top floor, one of the top floors of that parking garage, taking a limp Madeline and putting her in the trunk. At that point, yeah, it's no longer a rescue operation. It's a recovery operation. So, yeah, I think you're right. That's how it probably panned out. They didn't know where she was at that time, but they knew that there was no hope for a live rescue of her at that time. But a very compact, and we think about the time frame, very compact time frame, just a couple of 48 hours from the time that they got the first call to the time that, you know, you've got this sort of press conference.
You know, and I can't say enough times what an outstanding job these investigators did on this case.
Absolutely.
I mean, just tremendous, tremendous interview, tremendous interrogation, tremendous crime scene work. Every aspect of this investigation I thought was outstanding. This is some WKMG news. This is an update to the case about where it's going right now.
Now to a pretty high profile case surrounding the man accused of killing a 13-year-old girl named Madeline Soto. Stephen Stearns is facing the death penalty and is pleading not guilty. He had two pretrial hearings today. News 6's Laverne McGee has details.
I was here for the afternoon hearing at the Osceola County Courthouse, where Stern's attorney would not comment on camera. She did give me her card. I rode down the elevator with her. She said that this case is extensive.
There were two pretrial hearings today. The first one continued into the second hearing this afternoon because the defense said they needed more time.
I'd like to set the matter for October 14th, which is a Monday, at 9 o'clock, please. By that date, I'll ask the parties to please coordinate with each other.
Stearns was not in court today because he waived his right to appear. He's pleaded not guilty in the murder of 13-year-old Madeline Soto, his girlfriend's daughter.
My daughter was dropped off.
Soto was 13 years old when she was reported missing by her mother on February 26th. She was found dead on March 1st by deputies searching a wooded area off Hickory Tree Road in Osceola County. Police believe that Stearns murdered the 13-year-old girl at her Kissimmee apartment. Investigators say surveillance video shows Stearns leaving the apartment with her body and then driving to the St. Cloud area where she was later found. Stearns also faces dozens more charges stemming from what investigators say are disturbing pictures and video found on his phone depicting sexual abuse of a child.
Instead of it being on a pretrial docket, that it go onto a status docket.
Both the murder charge and the matter involving the videos and photos of sexual abuse will be addressed at the next court date of Monday, October 14th at 9 a.m.
So that's where we are right now, is that they have his court date is set for October 14th. I guarantee this case isn't going to go till 2025. If they're set to go, I believe the defense will keep trying to put this off. Because the amount of discovery, which we all know as true crime followers, is that all of the evidence that the prosecution has to give over to the defense, the amount of that is voluminous. And the defense will probably request, look, we need more time. We need more time. And while this is happening, you know that there's no chance on this earth that Stefan Stearns could be bonded or bailed out of jail while awaiting trial, because the first charges, of course, the SA, is potentially a life sentence itself. The second charge, murder in the first degree, is death penalty eligible. Mike.
Yeah, I think you're right about this. They're probably going to ask for a continuance in October, probably in a couple of weeks, and put off October because they're going to say they have, you know, they don't have the ability to go through all the discovery material as much as they'd like to go through, as quick as they'd like to go through it. They need more time. And so depending on the volume of material they've gotten and they're getting, they want to put it off. I think you're right. This might go past Christmas into the new year. Everybody should know, though, that there's no possibility that this guy's going to be, out on the street anytime soon. The idea that he was talking to his parents, emailing his parents and saying, you know, someday this will all be behind me. Good luck with that. But he's not in any hurry to go anywhere. He might not like his cell. It might be small. It's not the Ritz, as he said, and there may be some bloody fingerprints on one wall, and the mattress stinks, and he doesn't have his coffee. But he knows that's actually, that's probably the safest place for him right now, where he can be protected from anyone else. And so therefore, I think you're right. This is going to go into probably early 2025.
You know, Mike, I think also it's very cowardly of Stefan Stearns not to have appeared yet in court. Like, what does he think is going to happen? At some point, he has to face the music and he has to show up in court. He sat it out and let his attorneys speak for him. He's never yet appeared in court. Like, when at some point the judge is going to say, get him in court now. You know, I don't care that he wants to waive his appearance. The court wants him here, you know? That could happen. I mean, I don't see how he's put it off this far.
It is odd. I've not seen this before, where a defendant would not show up for, you know, a hearing like this. I waived my right to be there. I got my attorney there. How you would not want to be at the hearing and whispering in your attorney's ear maybe something helpful, or having your attorney whisper something in your ear, something helpful to you. I think it's weird. I don't know what he thinks he's getting. Maybe he thinks he's slowing down the process, but the process continues. And there will be a point where he will actually have to be forced into court. you know, with handcuffs on in his little orange jumpsuit, if that's what it takes. But he's not delaying anything. There's no advantage he's getting. He's not screwing over the process.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Execution. He's not throwing a monkey wrench into the machinery of justice. No, it goes slow enough, and it's going slow, and he's not contributing to his case by sitting, you know, these hearings out whatsoever. And maybe he's just decided, I'm not doing it, and maybe he just feels like there's no hope anyway, so why am I even going to go there? I don't know. It's really weird. Really weird.
Absolutely. You know, when as we talk about all of this, all of these little ins and outs of this case and the fact that there's two major cases to move forward, of course, the SA case, which would undoubtedly be the first one, because he is actually eligible upon conviction if he is convicted on that case. And we all know he's innocent till proven guilty. He's eligible on that case alone for a life sentence. However, on the murder case, the capital murder case, the murder first degree case of a young girl, 13 years old, he is eligible for the death penalty because there's also an underlying felony in regards to that, and that being the SA is the underlying felony. So that's a death penalty case. So does Stefan Stearns think there is any possibility whatsoever on this earth that he will ever walk free as a free man ever again? If he thinks that, I think he's absolutely delusional, you know, and I think he has zero chance of ever walking free again on this earth. And you see the woman in this still photo that's part of a video, a body cam video, that's Jennifer Soto. And I would be surprised if at the end of this, she is also not charged. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I believe that. I truly believe that in my heart, that, you know, she is so complicit in this, and she somehow, through omission, allowed these horrible things to happen between her daughter and this man who's now 38 years old. This 38-year-old baby who lives with his parents. Just too hard to believe that Jennifer Soto knew nothing about this, knows nothing about this. And as we continue to follow this case, I think we all expect there to be additional charges. Mike?
Yeah, I would like to think that you know, there's still maybe some ongoing case here, and they're looking at Jennifer, and they're just taking their time. Remember, statute of limitations. If she's considered a co-conspirator for a homicide, you know, that there's no statute of limitations, so they could take their time, and hopefully we'll see justice for Madeline vis-a-vis her mom Jennifer. And we could just keep our fingers crossed. But yeah, I want to see it happen. You want to see it happen. Phil wants to see it happen. Everybody in the chat wants to see it happen. It may come later. We don't know. We can only keep our fingers crossed. But it is weird. But there's probably an excellent reason. We just don't know what the reason is. I hope that there's an excellent reason, and we don't know what the reason is.
Absolutely. Bridget from the chat. Pretty sure the judge said he has to show up for the next one. Let's hope that he does show up. It's all about him, you know, and why wouldn't he show up? Trying to read from the chat. Jen certainly wasn't paying attention. Justin, you would have been had to be brain dead. I'm not sure what that's in reference to, Patty L. But so, folks, I see a lot of new people in the chat. And again, if you're not subscribed to Police Off the Cuff, it's very easy to subscribe. It's free. Just go on our YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. Ring that bell. And you're immediately part of the Police Off the Cuff YouTube family. We will continue to follow this case as it takes some twists and turns. Not totally unpredictable, but new information comes out. And when it does, we will bring it to you. We covered this case from very early on. And it is a, as much as it's so heartbreaking, it is somewhat of a fascinating case to think that these two, and I'll say these two, were living this life and that they thought they could somehow get away with this. And so far as we know, the man you see on the screen, Stefan Stearns, is going to be facing a capital murder trial. But first, the SA trial in October 14th, if in fact it does start on that date. Mike, your final thoughts. We've reached that point in the show.
Final thoughts. Pray for Madeline. Pray for that little girl who had no chance in this life. And the life she had was short and it was brutal. Pray for her soul. And pray for justice in this case.
100%, and very well said. We always, on this show, we always like to remember the victim first. And that's poor 13-year-old Madeline Soto. And we certainly pray for her and her soul and pray that there is a positive outcome to this case regarding the persons responsible. So that's our show for today, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories on behalf of myself and Professor Michael Geary. Have a great day, everyone, and God bless.
One episode, just ain't enough.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.